the muggy season. Crank up the ACs, grab yourself a cold drink, chew on some fresh JopeyCast. JOPEY.com. Welcome to my squeaky little voice. Ah, oh, so pretty. Howdy, folks, and welcome. This is episode 20 of the JopeyCast for the week of June 8th, 2006. I'm your host, Joe Jopey Fitzpatrick. The JopeyCast is a one-time weekly podcast that looks at the local music scene in Western Massachusetts. Yeah, I'm trying to get these out as quickly as I can. It's been a little busy around here, but anyway. My guest this week is the band you're listening to right now, Tizzy. This is a three-piece freaking powerhouse that is a sonic force you've just gotta hear. My cool internet site of the week is actually a cool internet program for all of you broadband users. And I'll be telling you about some shows you don't want to miss. And I'll rant a little bit about the music business. Little news coming up, new CD releases, Sonic Youth, Busta Rhymes, Keb Mo, Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. This week I played my first show with the Jen Toby Band at the Webster Theater in Hartford, Connecticut. We were part of the pre-show on the small stage before Collective Soul hit on the big stage. What a powerhouse that Jen Toby is. It was like I've played 100 times before. I really like her songs and I'm looking forward to our next show, which will be on Friday, June 16th at the Greenfield Energy Park. I'm not really sure of our exact start time, but the whole thing runs from 6 to 9 and it looks like there's some pretty cool bands lined up to play. Check that out. That's Friday, June 16th. Most of you probably know Trailer Park will be losing our guitar player, James Robinson, this month. This has been a hard thing for all us Trailer Park guys. James is our dear friend, and we plan on remaining so. Our final public gig will be at the Mole's Eye in Brattleboro, Vermont on Saturday, June 17th. Please come out and say your goodbyes. We love you, James. And that brings me to my rant. Why is this freaking music business so damn squirrely? I mean, come on. There's just no guarantees. It's like it's not fair. Now I know, there's no guarantees in many businesses, but the music business at times just seems so shady. I mean, some of the things I've seen, although I haven't seen the worst, I'm sure, have just been like shady. All business isn't run this way. I don't think it is. Alright, I'm not going to rant much more about that, but it just does kind of tick me off at times. I've always tried to be a professional musician my whole life. And I see some people act in such unprofessional ways throughout my career. I just don't get it. All right, rant done. I was a wee bit sad when I was putting together the interview segment this week. The members of Tizzy just announced that they are disbanding. But please don't let that stop you from checking out this band. They actually joked right during the interview about breaking up so they can have a reunion. So hopefully, they might just be planning just that. Let's call this decision to not perform together right at this moment temporary. Because I think this band still has a lot to say musically. They got a sound that is both noisy and harmonic at the same time. Let's see what they have to say. Ladies and germs, you're listening to the wonderful sounds of Tizzy, and in the studio with me is the band Tizzy. Welcome all.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey, we're going to go right around the circle. If you could just tell us who you are and what you do in the band.
The Enchanted Circle. No, just kidding. I'm Jen, and I play bass and sing.
I'm Terry. I play drums and sing backup.
I'm Matt. I play guitar and sing.
Awesome. And now I was checking some stuff out on the internet, and I have to say, I have not heard a lot of your music yet, and I'm excited to hear some more today. So what I've heard so far is very exciting. have you, all three of you, always been in the band?
No.
No.
Jen started it many moons ago. And then I'm the third drummer, and I think...
I'm the ninth guitarist.
No.
Something.
One, fourth guitarist, something like that.
That sounds about right.
We don't know what happened to the others.
they Spinal Tap, you know. Come to your own conclusions.
How long ago did the band actually start?
1993?
92 or 93, maybe. A long time. So that really dates us, I think. But I figure, you know, with retro, everything's catching up so fast that hopefully before we break up, our music will become popular, like, for the second time around. Right.
We're going to break up just so we can have a reunion tour. So.
Oh, they do that.
Sure. Work for the Pixies.
Are you all from this area?
No.
Not originally, no.
No. Huh? No. Jen's from Maryland.
Maryland, wow.
And I grew up all over the place. And
I'm from Chicago, originally.
Wow, that's pretty wild.
We all migrated here.
I guess we were all around the area for school and then ended up staying, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, more Vermont is sort of there.
Yeah, relatively.
The area.
Yeah.
I know we hate to label music and all, but how would you describe your music?
Jen?
We're all deferring to Jen.
I don't know. I think it changes somewhat now that Terry and Matt are writing songs too, which I really like because I think that mixes it up a little bit. But I guess I would say, I usually would say like power trio, rock, but trying to be noisy and melodic at the same time, just the right amount of each. But I really do like it with more vocals and different people writing the songs because I think that you can tend to kind of write the, or I feel, I worry sometimes I write the same kind of stuff. So new ideas and everything helps, I don't know, keep it fun, I guess, after doing it for a long time.
And that was going to be my next question. Who does the songwriting? And now it's all three of you doing the songwriting.
Yeah.
Do you all have a similar approach to songwriting? Like, do you bring songs sort of to the table that are complete, or do you bring ideas to the table, or demos to the band rehearsal, or how do you go about it?
It used to be when Jen was primarily the songwriter for a long time, and she usually writes a bass line and then has a melody idea on top of that, and usually words, and correct me if I'm wrong, usually write the words first, and then the melody sometimes.
More or less, yeah.
Yeah, and then now that Matt and I are trying to do a little bit more of that, I think we tend to try and come with at least, you know, one or two parts, and see what goes from there, and then we all kind of flesh it out together, which is I find to be a lot more fun.
Yeah, absolutely. It's cool.
But also torturous at the same time.
It's a process. We like it when it's done. We like the excitement of having something new. But that middle part
the
is
the middle just, part is hard.
That's okay. I was just saying, every practice, you know, to hear the progression of a song is really fun. So that's where we're at now.
It's funny because, like, you know, in the middle, we think, like, is this going to work? Is this sound good? Is this going to sound good when it's finished? And then, you know, however long later when it's finished, we're like, why did we even think that that was not going to sound good?
Because
it totally works. And, you know, we stop after a while, you stop thinking about whatever awkwardness you're going
at
through.
At some point,
trying to put it
actually
together.
Becomes the song.
Yeah.
Right. Until that, it feels good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Until you get used to it, we're all like, ugh. Is this anything? Does this suck? I don't know.
So you have two full-length CDs and two EPs, is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Nope. And some vinyl singles from back
vinyl
in the day.
Vinyl singles, right? That's very exciting.
Collector's items.
Yeah.
And are those all self-recorded, self-produced, or how did you go about recording those?
They're each kind of different. With different, we've done some stuff at Slaughterhouse and some stuff with Pete Weiss and Zippa and some stuff in Boston and some stuff... what is the studio that we did our last thing in?
Did you call it Goat Song?
Steve's.
Goat Song.
Yeah. Steve Wardlaw of New Harmful recorded our last EP. And yeah, we did a chunk single. We worked with Pop Narcotic for the first EP and started working with him on the first full-length Scary in Adulthood. And then his label kind of dissolved, so he gave us the blessing to sort of go ahead and continue. And then... after we finished Down with the Furies, Vital Cog came into the picture from New Jersey, this guy who had managed a band that we had played with in Philadelphia like years ago and kind of still remembered us. And so we've been really lucky to always sort of have somebody interested in us and to sort of help us out. You know, I know a lot of very worthy bands never get that opportunity. So, you know, we always count our blessings in that sense.
But we're looking now.
Yeah. So if any of those interested parties are still around... Now, this one we did by ourselves because we just didn't know if we were going to be able to support it with a lot of touring. Jen had a beautiful baby girl. Aww. And welcomed her into our little family.
Congratulations.
And, you know, so we just didn't want the responsibility of somebody having to pay for something and then us really not being able to promote it, you know, in that sense. And so,
boy, that's a good way to put it.
That's how I look at it.
You guys are responsible and shit.
We try. Well, we do have a parent in the brood now. Got to step it up.
Oh, totally changes.
Pet
totally
owner.
Changes.
Yeah. Has technology changed in, the way that you do business or the way that you create music or promote yourself?
Everything is definitely sequenced on the new record. It's all a sequencer. Terry used those Synsonics drums and the Mattel ones. And did you really?
Ooh,
oh my god,
them.
I'm so jealous. I never, I always wanted those. A friend of mine had those and I never had them.
I wanted them.
It's a pain that never ends.
I remember when we did our first tour and we had to call between a specific time on a certain day. So when email came into the picture.
So old it was
before email
was that popular.
When we booked a second tour and email happened, we were just like, this is revolutionary. Yeah. So, and yeah, and just the ability to sort of be able to record at home now and not really needing like a big studio production to get something recorded is just, you know, amazing for music in general because everybody can do it now. You don't have to have a lot of money or fancy toys or anything like that. If you just want to record something, you just turn on your computer
right.
and
put it up on MySpace.
Yeah, totally. And there you go. So it's a lot more accessible and, you know, it's sort of fitting with our situation now where it's like we can't really get out there and tour a lot, so it's nice to just be able to say go to this link and, you know, download the stuff and, you know,
that's
if you want to
really
hear us
fun.
Yeah, it's nice, and it's nice to be able to hear other bands that way, you know, just it's so much more music available now
in a way there's so much it's almost like it's overwhelmed. Like, how do you kind of sort it out. But right. I'd much rather have it this way than the,
right.
the
totally.
Other way.
Too much than too little.
Right, having a few, you know, radio stations or whatever kind of control the right. access. Yeah. This way it's a lot more...
even playing field.
Yeah.
Are there any bands that have influenced you individually as far as musically and what this band does?
A lot of people compare us to Sleater-Kinney, but that's really funny because Jen's never heard Sleater-Kinney.
And I think Tizzy started before Sleater-Kinney anyway.
Did.
So yeah,
we did start before that.
So I think Tizzy was a big influence on Sleater-Kinney.
That's right. And we're waiting for our check.
Matt loves The Who.
Yeah.
Which... you know, we can get behind him on that.
Oh yeah, that's always a good one.
And we all like Skrull, which is a band that it's funny because I think we all assume that everybody. Oh, of course, everybody knows who Skrull is. Like, and it's funny because I put Skrull and Fugazi almost kind of in the same category in terms of influence and importance and so forth. And I'm surprised at how few people have heard of Skrull. Hmm. But they were just unbelievable. They're just such an amazing band.
A trio. Right?
Yeah.
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 A trio.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rush, for example.
Yep.
Not that I'm saying my bass playing is anywhere on par. It's against
it. I'd like to have fun. Yeah.
So you guys have been in the area a long time. Do you have a favorite venue that you like to play at?
Flywheel is pretty boss, I gotta say.
Yep, Flywheel's always good.
As a venue and as a place to play. I mean, from both perspectives.
Mm-hmm. Right, because it's all ages and they have all different kinds of stuff, and I don't get there as much now as I would like to, but you know, they're just the fact that they've been able to stay open this long and have live music, knowing all the things that, you know, codes and noise and other bands.
Well, the best thing about Flywheel is like,
it's just amazing that we've run this long.
And you don't have to say, you know, when you play a Flywheel, you don't have to say, well, we're definitely going to draw X number of people. And, you know, a lot of other places, well, if you don't draw X number of people, we don't like you. And,
You know. And I love the brass caps, which happens to be right down the street.
It's true.
Because it's just so friendly and fun, and it's no low pressure to no pressure. I mean, not like, oh, you don't have to care, but it just feels more homey and
welcoming. Yeah. Audiences are always welcoming, and Eagles has a great sound system and light show, and that sound guy is the best ever. I wish I could remember his name. Maddie, Manny?
Lindsay.
Lindsay.
Yeah.
Yay to Lindsay. We played there for the first time this past summer. So.
And of course, the old base day, if it was still around, would definitely be...
It's hard to walk in there and know people are eating, you know, $60 meals.
People are actually eating there.
And you're thinking, oh, that's the time the unbanned guy threw up in that corner. Yeah. Not that happened. That's just a fictional story. I'm sure that never happened.
All right. Well, this is the time when you get to share some music with me. We're going to do a little listening together and talk about it a little bit. So what would you like to hear first?
Matt?
Oh, put it on me. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess Skrull, maybe. As I was saying, they're a band that we all love very much.
Let's check that out. Don't want to look at myself. Of sounds, because like there is a little bit of a grit sound on the bottom, but then it's got these really pretty harmonies on the top.
Yeah,
cool. And I love her voice. Her voice is just like it's very unique. You know, it's just sort of got like a sadness to it. You know, that I really like. It's very raw.
cool. Are they from the region or
they're
from Columbus? Okay. Yeah.
I don't think they're together anymore.
No. I just read on, because I just did a Google search because I was trying to find out what they were still up to, and Marcy Mays, who's the guitarist, I guess the main songwriter, she and a couple other people opened a restaurant in Columbus, which is also performance space.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks really cool. Nice. But they've been around since, geez, like 86, 87, I think. Mm-hmm. And they were, you know, like every time Fugazi tours, it's whatever the big local band is gets to open. Like if they play in Chicago, Shellac opens. And so whenever they play in anywhere in Ohio, Skrull always opened for them.
That's cool. They came here. Yeah. They played the Loud Music Festival one year.
Oh, cool.
That was cool.
Actually, the day after I moved to Northampton, Mike Watt was playing at the Iron Horse and Skrull opened.
Ooh.
And that was great. It was also really depressing because I was like, I want to do that, and I have to go to work the next day.
What else you got for us?
We can hear from the Can Kickers
Let's
if you want.
Check that out. Bluegrass or something.
Yeah.
That's wicked cool.
The Can Kickers. If you haven't seen them, check them out.
From Connecticut, and they play around here all the time.
Oh, cool.
And I guess the drummer, last time I saw them play, the drummer really struck me with just how much energy he had. And my husband told me, he read on the website that he used to be in this, I forget which one, but like this big hardcore band in Connecticut. And you can really see it come out. I mean, he's standing. He's like behind the drum kit, but he's practically standing up the whole time. And I think that really gives it a lot of energy. Plus, the two front guys look just like each other, but they're not brothers. Just a fun little visual. They're visual as well as audio.
Bands start to look
really
alike
fun.
After a while. Owners and their dogs. Right. And stuff like that.
Matt, you had brought something in you wanted to share with us.
Yeah, this is a piece by... Well, I also do, in addition to my duties with Tizzy...
duties?
You said
duties.
I was thinking, I was like, should I say my duties with Tizzy? I was like, yeah, because then we'll make the duty joke. But I also play... I've been playing drums and percussion for a long time, and I do solo percussion and electronics, and I also am in this band called Barn Owl with Chris Cooper and Andy Crespo, and... I occasionally play with other musicians in that area of things. And when I was in college, I studied with this musician named Bill Dixon, who's a trumpeter and composer, has been recording since the early 60s, was a major figure in, well, still is really a major figure in what is generally referred to as, though the musicians themselves don't really call it that, but, you know, free jazz or the new music or free improvisation or improvised music. Or there's a lot of different names, none of which... Yeah. All of which are complete misnomers. But anyway, so he's been a tremendous influence on my work in when I do percussion, but also, you know, when I've played with Tizzy in ways that, you know, maybe aren't obvious on the record, you know, but, you know, just certain ideas, like, for instance, I know when we were mixing the last record, at a certain point, there was something, maybe that's not loud enough, or maybe it's either too loud or it wasn't loud enough. And one thing Bill Dixon used to talk about is something can be a felt presence, which is just, you don't actually have to physically hear it, but you know it's there. And if it wasn't there, you would really, really notice. So, you know, little things like that. But anyway, so this piece is something he recorded in concert in 2000, I think, or 98. He uses electronics, delay and reverb, and on this piece he's playing with this percussionist named Tony Oxley, who's a British guy who's been around for years and years, was Cecil Taylor's main drummer for a very long time also. I think still works with Cecil Taylor. And Bill Dixon has had an association with Cecil Taylor for about 50 years also. Mm. There are two bassists also on this track.
Cool. And this is Bill Dixon.
Yes.
Cool.
Thank you. Is this going to make me freak out?
I'm freaking out.
It's my party.
Actually, Jotham has this. I think I...
Probably.
Yeah.
I'm seeing colors.
Trumpet.
Oh,
and,
trumpet.
And delay, yeah.
Not drone.
Not yet. They haven't come in yet.
Sounds like animals migrating, like in a hurry. It's cool. Out of breath.
It's, I honestly don't know, and not to be like, well, you know what, but it's also like, not to be like, I hate saying this because it sounds like, what, how dare you ask me that, but it's, and this is something that I also learned from studying with him, what difference does it make,
yeah.
You know what I mean, because that's also the, I mean, I think that can kind of color people's perceptions of things to a certain degree, but also, I mean, you know, you've arrived at the piece, so it doesn't really matter how it's arrived at. Mm-hmm. I believe there were things sketched out in advance.
Right.
I'm not absolutely certain. I should probably check the liner notes or something. But I believe there was kind of like a general curve sketched out in advance.
Right.
Like, you know, it's going to start like this and then move into a different area and then go into another area. Within that, I think there are things that are improvised.
It's definitely cool on the headphones.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Like,
headphone music. Yeah.
Put your phones on, people.
That's right. Listen close.
Smoke them if you got them.
It was 420 the other day.
Yep. That's but, hey, man. It's 420 every day. I do not condone such things.
I don't even know what I'm saying.
Really horrible musical taste.
Oh, this sounds wild. I'm going to have to check this out soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
40 minutes.
Well, I'm going to leave that going in the background. We're going to wrap this up with something called the lightning round. Did I tell you about the lightning round?
No, but it sounds fun. Is there a prize?
Yes, there is a prize. I keep promising people jopey.com t-shirts and I haven't made them yet.
Ooh.
But they are.
Oh, okay.
Will people be coming in to distract us with things?
No. Nope,
like, we'll all get hit by lightning.
So the lightning round is basically either or questions. I'm just going to go around the circle and give you an either or situation. Or you can say neither or both.
Neither. You can pass.
Exactly.
This is a safe space.
That's exactly right. All right, so here we go. Jen, you're
first. I'm ready.
Ooh. Mac or Windows?
I'm sorry, saying that.
Mac or Windows?
Question. Oh, Windows.
Incense or candles?
Candles.
Candles.
Ugh, incense.
That wasn't your turn.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We're going around the circle.
Oh.
You've had your turn, Jen.
Thanks for playing.
I'm sorry. Goodbye. Incense or candles?
Candles. Cool. Definitely.
Friday night or Sunday morning?
Friday night.
He's a partier.
Dunkin' Donuts or Starbucks?
Dunkin' Donuts.
Saturday Night Live or Breakfast with the Arts?
Since I don't know the latter, I have to say the former. Sadly.
Fox News or The Daily Show?
Daily Show?
Oh,
my
God.
God.
Is that even a choice?
How dare you? No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, Daily Show.
Pringles or Cape Cod chips?
Ooh. Hard one.
Both.
There
That's
you go.
A tough
That's
one.
A stumper.
Roller coaster or merry-go-round?
Ooh, roller coaster. And when I was younger. Now I get sick.
Fancy champagne or cheap beer?
Cheap beer.
Awesome. You guys are awesome. Thanks for so much.
Thanks
for
so much.
Thank you so much.
Yay. What fun.
Should we pimp our website?
Yeah.
Oh, of course.
Just Tizzy. Give the tizzyrocks.com for more info.
Yep. And I'll have links to that on the website. And I have to ask you before we finish, how did you do that photo on the main page?
That was Jen's husband. Did that.
That is wicked cool.
An original photo by Seth Kay, who's an awesome photographer. And he gave us permission to use that. And then Jotham, I think, manipulated it through Photoshop and stuff.
Yeah, it was just a live photo. And our friend was taking the picture and knows all the parts of the songs where we get the most air.
Right.
So he was ready
to
capture it. Right. And then Jotham made it into the skeletons. I'm not sure how, but
very cool.
Magic.
And those are our exact skeletons, too.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
We all had to get x-rays.
They're anatomically correct.
That's right. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That band Tizzy is all right. You got to check them out. They only got a few shows left. Jopy.com. That's where you find the links, mofo. Friday, July 7th, Paper City Brewery. Tizzy's last show. Don't miss it. Friday, July 7th. One of my favorite bands, 12 Rods with Telephone Holiday, because I'm going to tell you about this week's cool internet site of the week. This week's site is actually an internet program both Mac and Windows users might want to try. The things you will need: a computer connected to the internet with cable or DSL, a pair of speakers, and a mic. Many laptops have a mic built right into the screen. Heck, new Macs even have a camera built into their screens, but I won't get into that. But no camera is needed. This program is called Skype. What Skype allows users to do is to call any phone number from their computer and talk to them for unlimited time for free. Yes, my friends, for free. That's right, totally free. Long distance from your computer. Voice communication over the net isn't new, but being able to call phone numbers is new. Any phone number in the US and Canada, in fact. Now that is news. I've tried it twice, and I have to say, I've been quite impressed. The sound quality is great, and you can add phone numbers to your Skype account so you don't have to enter them each time. Here's a tip. When putting in the numbers, you need to start with the plus sign, the number 1, and then the area code and number. The 1 is a country code. The US and Canada share the same number 1 for their country code. You can also call other Skype users when they are online, just like any other chat program. You simply add them like you would any instant message program. You know, I dare you to try it and add me. My Skype nickname is Drums Is Good. That's Drums with a Z. DrumzisGood. Drums is good. Do it. Skype. Skype.com. Jopy.com. You know by now. And don't forget, big party in Belchertown, Sunday, July 9th. Sandy and Joe's annual Big Bash, live music, awesome food and beer. Sweet! Rain or shine, we always put it on. Sunday, July 9th, go to jopy.com, email me for more info about the Big Bash. Holy freaking cannoli, that brings us to the end of another freaking Jopy cast. Be sure to visit Jopy.com to find all the links mentioned in today's podcast. Please get out and support your local music scene, my friends. Thanks for listening. Send your comments. Jopy.com. Email me. Rock on, mofos. Thank you, Tizzy. Thanks, Jen Toby. JOPY.com. Welcome to my squeaky little voice. Welcome to my squeaky little voice. JOPY. Welcome to my squeaky little voice. JOPY.com. This week's episode powered by